Okay, the topic, we have a double topic we're doing right now. As an aside, okay. The discussion we're having today is, besides Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, obviously, which you've been hearing about a lot, is Dibuk Chavirim. You heard last week the idea, the concept of Midos building. And Midos building of Dibuk Chavirim means we're working on how do we bond with our friends properly. How do we connect with our friends properly? Even who our friends, maybe even who they should be in the first place. And why is it connected to the holidays of the Yom, the Rahim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? It seems to be a very independent, individual thing. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Also of the Tzibur, but also of me. The big discussion actually brought down, should one daven for personal bakashos during Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, or not? On one hand, it's the day when the world is accepting Kodesh Baruch Hu over them as the Melech. And therefore, to be all petty about myself would seem to be maybe inappropriate. On the other hand, it's very hard not to have in mind my personal needs if we believe that the year that's coming up is going to be dependent and based upon how I daven right now and what I personally ask for. It might be a challenge for me to ask for melucha in the world. I don't connect that as well, at least not yet, unfortunately. But we do see this dilemma. Do we have personal davenings? Should it be about the tzibur at large? So, I want to read from you a line in Yom Kippur davening. This is right after we jump around and dance by Mara Cohen. One of the exciting parts, usually you have your finger at the place knowing it's coming around the corner. Everyone locks arms. It's a very exciting time in davening. This is from Ashkenazim. I don't know what this word is. I've never been Zocha, but maybe one day I'll be Zocha. But right after that, we break into a terribly depressing conversation. It goes, Ashri Ayin Rasa Kol Eila. So excited, so happy, fortunate is the eye. That's all of these descriptions of the Kohen Gadol. And then it says afterwards, Hol Mishma Ozen Davan Hashem. But to hear about it today, to only be talking about it and not seeing it, is depressing. It's depressing. And we go on to a list of things that we talk about, that we used to see that were awesome. And now it's just a memory we hear about, and it's depressing. At the end of that chapter, that paragraph, we see the following words. The crimes of our ancestors have destroyed our Beit HaMikdash. And our continued sins have extended the time when we're missing our Beit HaMikdash. But we ask that reminding Hashem of these things, mentioning them, should be a slicha. And the inui, the pain that I feel, should be a kapara. And they would say the following line. Yom Kippur should be a slicha avon kapara's pesha. Yom asr ba'achila. These are things that we know. It's a day you can't eat. Yom asr b'shi, you can't drink. Yom asr b'rechitza, you can't bathe. Yom asr b'sicha, you can't anoint yourself. Rub oils in yourself. Yom asr b'tash b'mita, you can't have marital relations. Yom asr b'nyasam, you cannot wear leather shoes. Okay, those are all things that we know. But the next words in the tefillah, it says, Yom Simas Ava Vereus. It's a day of love and friendship. Yom Azivas Kina Vitachus. It's a day of leaving behind jealousy and competition. What? Is that what Yom Kippur is? Where do we have love? Where do we have leaving behind jealousy? As a matter of fact, I'll tell you otherwise. Some people, I know it's going to happen, it happens every year. You're going to go to your friend after we have a long davening. Another yeshiva, you say, when did you finish Shacharis? When did you guys finish in Yom Kippur Musaf? He's like, well, we only had an hour and a half break. Ooh, we only had a 45-minute break. Competition. It's like when the Pesach Seder, what time did you finish your Seder? Well, we finished at 2 in the morning. We finished at 2:02 in the morning. We beat you. Oftentimes, these moments actually encourage competition. Where do we find no competition? Where do we find the idea of love, of no jealousy? And I'll give another example. Have we ever had, no, I can't say I'm embarrassed to admit, when I was younger at least, davening from an Ezra, and you're really feeling strong in your davening. You're about to finish the turn to your right, and you see your friend, and he's still going. I'm going to finish what he does. And you kind of like think about more things you want to think about, until eventually, the guy takes a step back, and you're like, oh, we know he finished the same time. There certainly could become tacharis competition. in a day like this. I remember last year, this was terrible. Last year, when I said in the Beis Medrash Yom Kippur, there's a guy behind me, this happens every year, who had pledged, I'm not telling you sure or sure, I'm going to tell you what happens. He pledged the tiniest dibur. I'm not talking on Yom Kippur except for davening. I'm not talking. I'll be able to learn Torah, but I'm not with my friend. And his neighbor, sitting neighbor, who's also a good friend of his, made his business to try to have him violate the tiniest dibur. And he got him. At one point, he got him. I heard him talk. And he goes, yeah, Yom Kippur. The guy has a mind to try to do something different. To maybe not say anything that can, God forbid, be called Lashon Hara, so he doesn't talk. And you're trying to get him to mess up. So there is tachris. There is competition. There becomes looking around you, what's he doing, what am I doing, who's davening longer? So how do we avoid that? How do we look at our friend as a source of inspiration instead of competition? Where do we find at all, even in Yom Kippur, that there's even an idea of bringing brothers closer together? So there, we do find. Just some quick points. The Rabbi Hilchos Shuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Hei, says the following. V'shevach gadol leishav, she's vadeh v'rabim. It's a tremendous praise, it's very praiseworthy for a person doing tshuva to admit his mistakes in public. V'odia v'shevach lehem, he should tell people what he's done wrong. You should not hold back from describing your mistakes that you've done wrong to your friend. And you say, it's true, I did, I made a mistake. But I made the following errors, what I did wrong, and I'm trying to be forgiven right now. More than that, even. Psak halacha says, Maran the Mechaber, in Tav Reish Vav, Sif Aleph, Averu Shevein Adam L'Chaveru Ein Yom Kippur M'Chaper, Achi Faisenu. When you have committed a crime against your fellow man, Yom Kippur will not forgive you until you have reached out to him. You've explained to him, I did something wrong, I want to ask forgiveness. We actually have a minhag in the yeshiva, though I don't know if it covers this. Rabbi Miller will say it the night of Yom Kippur, and it'll remind us that the custom is to walk around the base, listen to the guy next to you and wish him a good year and apologize. Ask him a mechila. And we do, but some of those mechilas like everything. There's not really a sacred explanation. What did you do? Let me first hear about what you did to me. What did you say about it? As a matter of fact, it's very interesting about Lucas. The Chametz Chaim was also Lanzer on this topic. Chametz Chaim, in his sefer that he was named after, called the Chametz Chaim. That's why he's called the Chametz Chaim. He wrote a sefer about Lashon Hara. And in it, that actually reminds me, there's a boy in our yeshiva, from our yeshiva who is a little sick, and we should have him in mind. If anything I say is inspiring to you, hopefully we can just have him in mind. Eitan Chaim ben Liba Evra should be a refuah shalema. Chavetz Chaim Yurtai today. So in his sefer, he writes and describes. He writes a beautiful sefer and he gives it from Yisrael Salanter to give a haskalah. To say, it's a good book to read, I recommend it highly. And after Yisrael Salanter saw it, he didn't write a haskalah. Chavetz Chaim questioned, why do you write a haskalah? What do you have? You don't like the sefer? No, it's a beautiful sefer. But there's one thing in it I don't appreciate. What was the idea? He said, Chavetz Chaim writes in the sefer, when you tell a shemar about somebody, you want to get tshuva, it's the same thing. I use the opposite of I want to apologize, I said something bad about you. And this is what I said. You got to share with him what you said. So the father said, how do you do that? He didn't know about it. Okay? It's enough that you say to him, I made something wrong. That's why he makes it very true. For then to repeat the mistake that you made when you said that, it's offensive. And maybe that will cause greater strife. So therefore, Chavetz Chaim says, I'm not going to give my haskama because of that. He did. Chavetz Chaim says back, the story goes, noob, so right in the haskama, good sefer, this thing I don't agree with. So I'm not going to do that. No one reads that stuff anyways. They don't see the name on it. I'm not going to know what I wrote about it, so I'm not going to sign it. But Agadei Kach, such a level is required of asking your friend for forgiveness. You have to actually spell out, potentially, according to someone who did wrong. Most of our make-alls, we're Mako. We know who we have to bother, so that we know. And we make a beeline. You know, like, if you see me go over to you, probably should ask me what I said about you. Or did wrong. But if I go out of my comfort zone to 5 minutes fetish, you got to get around that. Like, what'd you do? What'd you do about it? But usually when we rely on the idea, this is it. Also, never really play shalim. We say at night every single night. Hamapi always try to be most everybody who are sleep at nighttime. And similarly, the custom is that we don't really share with each other and say we did wrong. But if you look at the halacha, it's really supposed to be shared. Sounds like at least. So certainly there's a level of Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, a very serious way, during the Yom Kippur and High Holiday season, for sure. I went to Rav Miller, Rosh Kollel of Gruas, and I kind of said to him, this whole davening thing of asking and mentioning of, you know, of no competition, of love between each other, is that like what's that doing in Yom Kippur? Why is that like a focal point? We finished all the Inuyim, you shouldn't eat, you don't drink, etc., etc. We mentioned that already, we read it in davening, I read the line to you. Why is this whole idea of brotherhood, of friendship, of lack of competition, where does that come up? Why is that such a featured part in that part of davening? So Rav Miller said to me the following line, and I'm going to just build off it. He said, "Lifnei Hashem titaru." As a din, we'll say this many times in our davening over the next number of few weeks. In front of Hashem, you should become taru. Lifnei Hashem titaru. And said Rav Miller to me, "This is a din. It's a din like it's reminiscent a little bit of the taru process a person the Yisrael went through at Matan Torah. We had to go through a level of purifying ourselves, and we did so." Kisha Kabbalah. We had to be together. We had to be unified. Tahara in the Matan Torah process was one of Isha Kabbalah, and to have a proper level of Tahara as we approach the Yom Narayim, we have to have a similar level of unity. As a matter of fact, Rav Huttner in the Pachat Yitzchak, he discusses and describes this unity. And he compares it to the non-Jews of the world. When Mitzrayim chased us outside of Egypt, when they ran after us, says Mitzrayim noseya achareihem, says Rav Huttner. Well, says really total, but Rav Huttner's quoted. Mitzrayim ran in singular after them, meaning they were unified. And as a matter of fact, Ubal Zabir Bilchonim Shachachamim, Chazal bring down with the lashon of noseya achareihem, Beleida Echad Yitzchak, with one heart like one man. One heart, one man. They ran after us with a common goal. And we see the similar lashon, Mibnei Yisrael, the Gav Itzok HaYosem Shal Yisrael, the Midbar, Matzinu Shanem Ha-Hagib, Ha-Lashon of the Rabbin Lashon Yachim, the HaYosem, the Rabbin Lashon Yachim. We find that V'yichan Shan, Negad Ahar, V'yichan Yisrael, Negad Ahar. V'yichan is singular, we are many. Say Chazal, says the partner on Pachat Yitzchak, if you look very closely, it's not the exact same phrase. Beleidachad ki'ishachad. Ki'ishachad beleidachad. It means the same concept, unity. But it starts in a very different place in the partner. L'mashal, says the partner, L'madav, what is it similar to? L'misha Omer, to someone who says, since the right and left hand of Reuven belong to Reuven, whatever the right hand wants, we should assume the left hand wants as well, to attach the same body. But imagine not that case, it's a different case. Meduar, b'shnei amashim b'shnei, two separate people. Then, it's not the same level of unity. Haseder left, became a Shigam Ruvim, Madam Shimon Rotsim, also a Damar, only because they want the same thing are they unified. We are naturally unified, as Jews, we're naturally unified. Kishabad, Blevacha. The non Jews, other nations of the world, are not naturally unified as we are. They can be unified, they have a common goal. Blevacha, and they can now be Kishabad. But we start out as an Ishabad. We're supposed to always. Do we feel that way? Do we feel a natural unity to our friends? Let's talk about that for a minute. Yeshiva is a natural place to foster chavirim. It's built for fostering chavirim. At the same time, it's also a challenge. We're in each other's faces, whether it be in the dormitories, same room, neighboring rooms. Its potential is great, and its challenge is also great. They both exist. Rav Volbi and Ali Shor, on a piece called Chevra, says, Ulam yeshiva eyena makom l'kniyas v'yas levad. Yeshiva is not merely a location to acquire information and knowledge. It's not what yeshiva is only about. Ki imakom shal shleimus achayim b'torah. It's a place where your Torah life is complete. We have a Beis Medrash where we try to learn in the Shtayim. We also have it outside of Beis Medrash time. The yeshiva alone in the chios of the Volbi. You learn how to live in yeshiva. Like you learn how to learn. And a very significant part of the Torah Jew's life is a seder. Super important. Asar yechidim, shiyosh mosim b'torah, they be'em av v'achlekos. If there are 10 individuals sitting and learning Torah, but they do not have brotherly love, they do not care for each other, simanu, ki Torah sub will teach them why. Torah is not right. It's not complete. Something's off. V'lo aleihem nemar shchina shri b'nehem. We do not say about them, though we often say about 10 people learning Torah, the shchina is dwelling on them, not if they don't get along. If you're not working together, if you're not getting along, the shchina is not short among you. It requires a level of brotherhood, of friendship.
He goes on to quote the Rambam in the Parish of Mishnah, in Meseches Demai.
We call a person who is knowledgeable and careful in the world of Truas Maisos a chaver, a friend. Says the Rambam, chaver nigin talmud chacham. A chaver is a talmud chacham, we assume. We call people who are wise, we call them chavir. It goes both directions. This is a very fascinating line. Maybe we give the name chavir to Tamakavim, because their friendship is real. It's a real friendship. It's a chevra, it's a friendship that is here to push you to what you're creating the world to do. Every other friendship is not real.
It's not. We have a lot of Facebook friends, those of you who have Facebook. Those are the furthest thing from a chaver. The furthest.
Because anybody can make that list. You even try bumping that number up.
You look at your social value. How many friends do I have on Facebook?
To me, it's depressing that you would even use the word, even the borrowed word friend, describes someone who follows your account or you follow theirs.
A friend is someone who pushes you to greater heights. L'shem Shemayim. Go through your lists of friends on Facebook if you have it.
I'm not saying you should have it, but if you have it. How many of those people push you to be better?
Push you to go to davening. Share with you a Dvar Torah.
Call you out when you post a picture you shouldn't.
If they don't do those things, they're not a chaver. They're not a chaver. And you cheapen the word. Facebook cheapened the word by using that phrase even. Oftentimes in life, in Lashon HaKodesh, we have words that sound similar root letters that mean very different things if you jumble them around a little bit. Frighteningly different. An example. I think it's a game called Boggle. You have all these letters, you gotta make words out of the letters. So using the root chet bet resh, chaver. Listen to the words you come up with. Chaver, with the same root, chavrusa, chibur, a connection, a learning partner, chaver. You can change the order of the bet and the resh to get the cherev, a sword, a korban, destruction. Same root, just swapping two letters around. Put the bet in front, bachar.
To choose or select. Barach, to run away. Opposites. Rachav,
put in the ratio in front. To broaden or to widen.
I want to claim to you right now that every one of those descriptions can happen if you pick the right chaver, and the other ones if you pick the wrong chaver. A friend is not neutral. He's either going to be unbelievably helpful, you bond with him, you choose him, you broaden yourself with him, or nebuch, a korban, destruction. I followed him and it led me to a terrible place. The same exact letters. The same we have is when it comes to Kiddushin. Kiddushin, Kiddusha, holiness, marriage, Kadesha, harlotry, prostitution. Same words, different way, just angle of the event. If you bond your achavra, chibur, to the wrong person, it's a chorban. It's destruction. If you choose well, then it's rachav, it can expand your horizons. A chibur connects you to where it's supposed to be connected in the end of the day. This is a decision that you will be making this year, maybe for the first time in your lives, in a very, very real way. If you choose a chav l'shem shemayim, then you can't imagine how far you can get. But if you do the opposite, it's chorban. How do I pick? How do I bocher my chaver properly? How do I pick? Look at character. Look at your friend's character. You should not want a yes man. What that means is someone who does whatever you do, oh, that's good. These athletes, superstar athletes, they always find themselves with yes men. LeBron James surrounds himself with people who are going to just pat him on the back. That attitude will never help you out. We have to say the Gemara like this. Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, tells a story over of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish started his career in this world as a robber, as a thief. Story goes, without getting into too much detail, he turned around. Rabbi Yochanan inspired him. He married Rabbi Yochanan's sister. He became Yedidin Nefesh. It was Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara describes the machlokas they were having about how you know when a certain weapon is considered a finished product, Gemara Malacha. Rabbi Yochanan gave his 2 cents. Reish Lakish countered with a different shot. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what? Listen to him. He knows the trade well. He comes from this life. Imagine the pain Reish Lakish felt. The Gemara describes he was like broken over it. And he died. Rabbi Yochanan, you can imagine also, was broken over that. This is his brother-in-law. This is Talmud. This is Chavrusa. This is Yedid Nefesh. And his students saw the pain that the Rebbe was in, and they brought him, they figured maybe another chavrusa would help. They brought him a very, very, very bright person, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who was a Nehemiah scholar. And whatever Rabbi Yochanan would say, he would say, oh, you're right, and I'll prove to you that you're right. Rabbi Yochanan said back to him, you think it's making me feel better? Atkibar Lakisha, you think you replaced Reish Lakish in my eyes? Bar Lakisha, ki havi amina milsa. When I would say something in front of Reish Lakish, havi machti eshim ba'arba kushasa. He would challenge me 24 kashas in my kashas. 24 kashas he'd give me. And I, in return, umafrikna lay eshim ba'arba puki. And I had to respond 24 kashas to protect my kashas. Umimele ravcha shmaisa. And automatically, by doing that, it makes me better. He challenged me. He called me out, and I had to respond and defend. V'at amar tani b'selecha. And you tell me I'm a good support for you? Atu lo yadana shavra kamina. You don't think I know I said something good already? That's what I said. I don't need you to tell me what I know, so that's what I said. Tell me what's wrong with it. To have a yes man as your friend, who supports you and stays silent when you make mistakes, is not a chaver. And you're not looking for growth if that's who you surround yourself with. You're looking for people to validate you. We say in Pirkei Avos, Knei lecha chaver,
Mishnah, Perek Aleph. In Mishnah Vav, Perek Yavos, Asei Lecha Rav, Uknei Lecha Chaver. Says Rabbi Yonah, the lashon of Knei means to buy. You should buy yourself a friend. It's worth you investing to find the right friend. You look around you in the Beis Medrash. You're going to see people that you don't know so well, but you admire and appreciate them. Buy them. Invest in them. Ask them to go out for dinner together. You have time for a chavrusa later on. Invest yourself in them. Kneel with a father. Because I was telling you that it's worth spending on a good friend. But what it doesn't say in the Mishnah is, what is a good friend? But that's what the Rishonim tell us. If you look at the Rishonim, Rabbi Yonah, for example, there's many things that a good friend is. It's very Torah, he says. Mitzvos, he says, and he says Eitzah, advice. He says, if your friend is doing wrong, and you let it go, you're not a good friend. You're not a good friend. Mechasev Pesha, Mevakesh Ava, Rishonim Badavar, Mafrid Aleph. If you hide the sin, I don't see anything wrong, I don't notice it. Because you're Mavakish Abba, you want to have love and brother. You want to call them out. It could be awkward. Then the bundle falls apart. If you're not confident enough in the relationship you have with this person, to say to them, this is not your best interest. This is not going to help you get to where you want to get to in the end. What kind of friend are you? I would hope, and I think it's true, and even when I gathered with your friends, I mentioned my shiur the other day, and they drank too much. They drank too much. At a wedding. Still inappropriate. And they have their car keys in their hand. They're going to go out and drive. You're not going to stop them? Mental constant here. I feel uncomfortable. Then you're a terrible friend. Just a side idea. Punch him out. Protecting his life. Do you think that the guy from the shovel doesn't deserve a sock once in a while? You don't call your friend out for making him sick. Because, I don't know, it was awkward. For his body, you're willing to go on a limb. But for his soul, you won't. Yom Kippur is a day when we act up in Malach. We wear white. You don't eat, you don't drink. We act like we're malachim. Because malachim are there spiritual. You're walking through spiritual life for a day. You have to learn how to call your friend out for spiritual things. Buy yourself a good spiritual friend. Don't use the term chaver loosely. Choose for yourself good chaverim. I want to share with you a little bit about what it is to have a good character of a chaver. Yosef HaTzadik, though he was also their brother, was the most unbelievable chaver to his brothers. Though there was competition, certainly, we mentioned at the beginning, competition and jealousy was definitely in the picture. At the time of revealing himself to his brothers, Yosef asked everyone in the room to leave. Everyone in this room has to leave right now. You should not see me. We're about to do it. Do you know the danger that Yosef at that point in time, his life was threatened? Number one, if he couldn't tell who he was before they killed him, after all, he was threatening him, imprisoning him. That could kill him. And even when he told him who he really was, that could kill him. Because they were going to kill him a long time ago. Now you see he's actually charged in Mitzrayim. So he's a tremendous threat to them. But he refused to admit it in public lest he embarrass his brothers. He risked his entire life. Not even Busha to his brother. What a chaver. He protected his friend spiritually. Rachel. Rachel gave up everything for Leah. Everything. Rachel was supposed to marry Yaakov and Leah should marry Esau. And Rachel, to avoid her sister being embarrassed, gave up her Basheret, who she should run the world with her. The Jewish people, he gave her up. She gave him to his sister, to her sister. No, maybe she was not with Esau. But lest she be embarrassed under the hood of that night when she's the wrong girl. What a friend. What a chaver.
Sacrificing for somebody else, caring about them more than you care about yourself. If you choose the right friend, your bachar, the right friend, it will rachav, it will expand your horizon, who you become one day. So I want to end off with one last point and a story or two. So hopefully I said some things that you appreciate what it means to be a friend. Hopefully you look and know what you're looking for in a friend. But the idea of lack of competition is still hard to swallow. There are some great people that we know. We know already the greats. But when they raise their hand and cheer, does the piece of us want them to be wrong? They always get it right. Is there some piece of me wants them to be wrong? Couldn't hurt for them to be wrong once in a while. When I have a chavrusa with my friend, who's a good guy, I know he's a good guy, and we start arguing, is there ever a time when you don't even care if it's true, you just want to be right? Him to be wrong, maybe? Did that ever happen? Where, you know, you actually think maybe he's right, that's a good point, but you don't never admit that. Why? Because it's a competition right now. How do we erase natural competition, natural jealousy, to make sure that we have proper chaveru? I'll tell you over a story. It was a visiting Rav, Rav Yaakov Milisa, who came to the town called Nicholsburg. He was brought in, the Av Beis Din of that town was Rav Mordechai Bennett. And in that town, there was a discussion. It was a shiur being given by the visiting Rav Yaakov Milisa, and the local Rav asked the kasha to the guest lecturer. He got very flustered, and he quickly finished the drush that he kind of like ended it. Clearly thrown off by the question, seemingly unable to respond to give the proper answer, and he kind of like rushed out, he grabbed his stuff, he finished the lecture, grabbed his stuff, and he kind of left back to his town. The Rav felt terrible. He asked a question, he embarrassed his visiting question, Rav. So he went after him, he said, I'm so sorry. He said, no, you didn't do anything wrong, it's not your fault, it's okay. It's kasha, don't worry about it. But clearly the visiting Rav was still leaving, he was upset seemingly. So the local Rav, Rav Mordechai Bennett, had this whole community walk out, Minchavi, Himalada, the guest Rav. Just to try to give a little extra chizuk, he felt terrible what he did. And it went away to the edge of the city. By the end of the city, everyone else went back, and there's just the two rabbis together. And one last time, Rav Mordechai Bennett turns to Rav Yaakov Milisa and says to him, I want to apologize one last time for what I did wrong. Two of them all alone now, rather. They're alone together, just two of them. He turns to the Rebbe and says to him, you don't apologize to me. The truth is, your question was a bad one. It's a bad question. The Pharisee Yerushalmi, if I would have answered you, it would have humiliated you. I pretend like it's a good question because I don't want to embarrass you. This is your town, not my town. You deserve to be respected in this town. So I stuck one up for the team. This is really, it's okay. You really didn't embarrass me at all. You actually were wrong. Why should everyone know that? So I left in order to avoid the truth that you just didn't understand. Shot you, Shalom. Could you imagine walking off a bima with everyone thinking that you're wrong, knowing you're right, to protect somebody else? We're usually the opposite. We might be wrong, but we'll fight our wrong opinion till we're blue in the face. Why? It's competition. It's a challenge. It's a fight. There's two people someone's not jealous of. And they are? Anybody? Who is someone not jealous of? What's that? Our children and our students. Children are our students. A man is not jealous of his child. He's not jealous of his Talmud. Why? Because you know that you played a role in that person's development. Whatever he is, you're proud of.
There's a chibur. There's a connection. If you somehow can realize that you play a role in that person's development, you're super proud of that. You're proud of the successes that they have. If you invest in a company, and your high school friend is running the company, and the company does well, you're very happy. That is part of what you did. If you found his first job, you're proud of him because you know you play a role in that. It's when we don't see the role we play with each other that there becomes this competition. I want to read to you a line from the Sefer Al-Tichlubot HaShem and a title called Zehirot Bekavod Chaverim. Be careful how you treat your friends. Let's end our words. Every person should know this point. Everything that you get in yeshiva, every level you grow, every chiddush you have, every chumra you take with you, you should know with certainty. There's a level of your success that's only because of your friends. Let's compare it to a bowl of chulitz. Eat a shaks. Every part of that chulitz separately has its own taste. Meat tastes like meat, the beans like beans, the potatoes like potatoes, but when you put it together, they rub off on each other. When you're eating a potato, you can taste a little meat in the potato because it cooked in the same bowl. It was boiling together. He says when you see a person in a yeshiva, you can know for sure that everyone in that yeshiva gave that person something to become who he was at the end of the day. If that's your attitude, and you realize that you gave this person what he is today, I'm proud of him. He's a chibur. He's a chaver. He's a chibur with me. I feel responsible partly for what he did. I feel like I have my role. There's no jealousy anymore. If I tell you how to read, and you get excited, I didn't get it because you read it better than I did. It's a tremendous pride in that. Because I feel like I also contributed to that at the end of the day. You need to see each other's effect they have on you. There was a basketball player by the name of Kevin Durant. When he gave his MVP speech, he thanked every single person that he encountered in his like day to day, the janitor. Every single person he goes to, the guy who, the water boy, whoever sweeps the court. Because he recognized that without that person, I wouldn't be who I am today. You all played a role. That was from a basketball player. Kal v'chomer is sitting in the yeshiva. Dominate somebody else. Learn with somebody else. You cannot imagine the role you will play. And I'll highlight this point, especially the Yom Nerayim. I always remember who I sat next to the prior year. We all do. Every Rebbe who davens knows who he sat next to the prior year. Because that seat being filled, you went through a moment together that was unusual. And whoever was next to you, that played a role in how you daven in the end. If that guy, you hear that guy's seat shuffle after like 3 minutes, when it's over for him, you feel it. You feel it. And when you can feel the guy's presence shuckling next to you, you feel that too. Every single one of you who's sitting next to the next guy next over you is going to impact his tefillah. If you talk to the guy next to you while you're finishing, unless you're waiting for the next guy to finish, he hears you talking. Every single thing that happens in the room impacts someone else. There's a deep chaverim. You have to understand impacts Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and your life. And it's not always found in the basic matter. Sometimes the biggest impact is found out of the basic matter. I'll tell you a quick story and then we'll end with this point. There was a boy who was in yeshiva Gateshead. And this boy was the funniest kid. Everyone loved him. Whenever someone left the yeshiva, they spoke about him. And this boy was always given the schus to speak. So always he was given the schus to speak to the yeshiva. And this boy, when he was leaving the yeshiva, he said, "Who can speak about you? Speak about yourself." Okay. He gets up there.
So he says, he starts off and says, I owe Rosh Hashiva everything. Everything I have is because of Rosh Hashiva. And I'm like, of course, you know, your jeer gives, this kosher rum. No, it wasn't anything I learned from the Beis Midrash gave me who I am for. It wasn't anything I learned from the Beis Midrash. It's actually a story I want to share with you, but even he doesn't know the story yet. Everybody, what does that mean? He goes to tell the Talmud. He was a later addition to get to the Yeshiva. And when he first got there, the boys in the Yeshiva were teasing him. And they would call names, and they would poke him. It was a really uncomfortable situation, so bad one time that he actually ran away from his friend at the second day of Yeshiva. He locked himself in the Otzer Svarim, the Rosh Yeshiva's library. He closed the door, he locks it, the picture room. Moment of silence and freedom. And he hears a knock on the door. After 30 seconds, who is it? He says, Rosh Hashiva. Come on, guys, not falling for that. Nah, not up to that. And he's, silence. A minute later, he's knocking the door. Who is it? Rosh Hashiva. I have to get into my library to grab a sefer for my shiur back in the day, the entire shiur. The Lord realizes, it's over. I can't show my face anymore. He decides, I pack my bags after I open the door. I'm going right back. And he opens up the door. This is what he sees. Rosh Hashiva sitting like this. Eyes closed. He wouldn't look who's in there. Kid walks back to his room. He stayed in the shoe for 3 years after. He says, had you looked at me, I would have left a little bit of the room. It's not a Torah I wrote in Rosh Hashiva, it's the mitzvah. It's the character. It's the care of sensitivity. To this day, he didn't know what it was meaning, now he knows. Unbelievable sensitivity. Who wouldn't want that person to be your father? Who wouldn't want someone who you know will think about you first to be your father? To spend the next 2 days in Rosh Hashanah, starting to chew with every Yom Kippur, and then finally Yom Kippur together. Realize, remind yourself, what's your goal? Find a chaver, see him cross face, better, and go after him. Tell a chaver. Create a chibur. Expand, rechav yourself. Avoid the short one. It goes along with choosing the wrong one. Do a job this year like a chuluk, so we're going to feel each other's energies. Show those influences about ourselves, like the Zohar, and a great next few days to build up for your proper young run.
Please put your chairs back if you don't mind.